number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. The podcast is uploaded moments after the show goes off the air. The Periscope is live right now on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. And, of course, you can go check out the Fan Run Radio app, which is available to download for free from the Apple and Google App Stores. And then also check out fanrunradio.com. That is a phenomenal place to go check out a lot of Tennessee news. Here is some of the headlines right now on fanrunradio.com. Gus Dugerton, an in-depth look at Tennessee's next head coach, a proposed all-SEC opponent schedule for Tennessee football in 2020. We have the story about FC Sewell in the mannequin mix-up. Bartolo Colon is the hero we need for 2020. So again, a couple new ones from yesterday. Be sure to go check out fanrunradio.com as a great place to find out all you need to know about what's going on in Tennessee right now. I saw a really funny tweet yesterday. I can't remember who it was from. I really wish I could give him credit. But think about this real quick. This is the last thing I'll say about the Dugs situation. Can you imagine Pruitt's reaction when he woke up this morning? Because you know he probably wasn't awake. I mean, that was late last night. That was 11:30.
I'm sure he was awake.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he was just scrolling through Twitter? Or you think he had his phone up for the night? I think Pruitt was probably in a recliner, maybe watching some Deadliest Catch or some Fixer Upper last night around 11:30. I bet he didn't even know any of this was happening until this morning.
I agree.
Unless
with
maybe Moose texted him.
I agree with that part, but I don't think he was watching Deadliest Catch or Fixer Upper.
You're right. You think he's an Ice Road Truckers kind of guy?
No, I think he's a film guy.
I mean, but you got to blow off some steam somehow, right?
TV, I think he's like an old school Andy Griffith, you know, reruns.
Really?
That's what I would say.
MASH.
Yeah.
MASH. Oh.
The MASH one, I think.
Hogan's Heroes.
He strikes me as a guy that goes to bed at like 9 p.m.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't think so. I don't think any of these college coaches are going to bed.
I think in the quarantine time.
I'm with Brandon. They're wired. They don't go to bed till who knows, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning.
What about like on especially on like a Saturday night, like if you have a night game?
You always hear about like you know Saban and like his coaches talking about like I mean they're literally like they might get like 3 hours of sleep a day during the season, at most.
Sheesh.
Yeah, these guys aren't sleeping.
Maybe quarantine time. I don't know. Either way, I just like to imagine that he had saw it for the first time this morning, waking up, seeing that Tennessee had got a new head football coach, just saying, well, we'll see if my key card still works. I'm still going into work this morning. I love it. So, speaking of Tennessee, I want to rewind the clock a little bit, just for a couple minutes. Obviously, one of the biggest stories that's been going on the last month or so for Tennessee is recruiting. You still have the number two class nationally. You still have the number one class overall in the SEC. Excuse me. Make sure to clarify on that one. Number two nationally, number one SEC. And just a whole slew of talent has committed to Tennessee here in the recent weeks. It has been a train of momentum where a couple of guys have gotten on board and everybody has felt like they've had to join. I mean, we've certainly talked about that kind of mindset with specifically Colby Smith, who was the one who came out and said, you know, hey, I wasn't really planning on announcing my commitment coming up, but I wanted to make sure I got with Tennessee. I wanted to be a part of that team and what they're building there. So when you go down the list of recruits, here's just some of the big ones. Terrence Lewis, Dylan Brooks, Aaron Willis, Cody Brown, Katron Evans, Julian Nixon, Jordan Mosley, Caden Salter, Kamara Wilcox, and Colby Smith. So many great recruits in the last couple weeks. Fish, I got to ask you, man, and this is a question that I've been waiting to ask. Has your Fishtel ball meter just completely broken from the last couple weeks? I imagine, you know, when it's like how they do it in the movies where the meter is just boop, 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 just going all over the place and then it just kind of spirals out of control because there's too much juice going into the generator. I'd imagine that's what your meter has been like.
Yeah. I actually, I know you guys told me when I originally left the show that I should, you know, keep the fish to balls going. And I did. I planned on it. And I even thought about, you know, during the summer, maybe getting a little goofy side or something, you know, and put it on there. But, I mean, now our class is four-fifths filled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll probably just leave it to, you know, throwing out some fish to balls. I got one big one today. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I will fish to ball Amarius Mims to Tennessee.
Oh, just casually.
Whoa. I thought, now there's a couple names that have been linked to Tennessee here, a couple 3-stars, maybe a 4-star too, but you went for the big fish.
Yes, he is the big one. I think he is the final 5-star in our class. And if we can, I'm sure we're going to cut a few of these 3-stars, add some 4-stars and some positions of need, offensive line. I just hope we don't start losing people. I know you guys probably talked about this a lot when the season starts. But, yeah, if we can finish out top 10, even I think top 7, top 8 would be fine as long as, you know, that's, you know, top 5 SEC. A lot of people would be happy with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it really is crazy that, like, you can be in the top 10 nationally and still be outside of the top 5 in the SEC. That was us last year. We were 10th overall nationally, and we were number 7 in the SEC. And it's weird because you're like, well, you finish in the middle of the SEC. Like, is that something to really get out of your seat and celebrate? Maybe, maybe not. But at the same time, it's like, is getting a top 10 class? Of course it is. So it's a weird dynamic there. But I'm totally with you, man. As long as Tennessee can hang on to these recruits, and that's obviously going to be the toughest part. We know that. You know, the recruiting has been affected by the coronavirus, just like everything else has. So who knows what kind of effect that is still going to continue to have as the next couple of months roll in.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
This is terrible.
What?
For our listeners in the mid-state, a few hours ago, there was a semi-truck hauling mac and cheese. That rolled over, and now there's macaroni and cheese all over the interstate.
You're kidding.
No. I-40 and right near I-40 and 24.
Oh, no, God!
Was it a Mack truck?
No.
You might could say that. But there's noodles all over the highway. Oh, my goodness, what a wreck. Hopefully no one was hurt.
Was it a Mack truck? That was a good one. That was a good one.
That was a really good one.
Dang.
That was a really good one.
So where was this at, like, as far as city?
I'm assuming it's near Nashville. It says... at 24 and 40, where they merge in Nashville near Silliman Evans Bridge.
Okay, I'm a mid-state guy now, so
yeah,
I was just trying to figure out
how do I find this on Twitter? Is there a keyword I can search or something?
Mac and cheese, okay. I-40.
Mac and cheese. Let's see what we got here.
I think the keyword is mac and cheese, right?
So if you just type in mac and cheese to Twitter,
do you see the truck? Do you see the noodles all over the highway?
There it is. You got to scroll down a little bit. There's a couple of gourmet mac and cheese recipes you got to get through, but you do see the truck, and oh my goodness.
43,000 pounds of dry pasta. 43,000 pounds.
That is, it looks like, all right, so you know when you leave your car outside in a parking lot, maybe under a tree and kind of, you know, springtime, and you come back out maybe a couple hours later, and it's just caked with pollen, and it's just, you can, like, see the yellow spots everywhere. When you look at this picture of the highway, that's kind of what it looks like, because you have this bird's eye view shot, and there's just macaroni just scattered everywhere. So it just looks like a ton of little specks of pollen all over the place.
What a...
Jeez.
Wow. First, the beef shortage. Now, probably going to be a 43,000 pounds of mac and cheese.
Not good for the mid-state. They need their mac and cheese. We all do.
43,000 pounds. I'm looking at the picture now. Like Rick said, it looks like a bunch of pollen.
It's a bunch of noodles. Weird. Bunch of noodles.
I'd love that.
What the hell is going on in 2020?
We just fast forward to the end.
This is
how
one
much? 43,000 pounds?
This is one of those memes. My plans, 2020.
That's exactly right. Just a picture of a truck, you know, driving down the road. And then the macaroni spillage.
Mm. You hate to see it. I mean, that macaroni didn't ask for that.
If you could just go up to it and, like, you know, find a spot that hadn't touched the ground, would you, you know, get a little spoonful?
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know what you're going to do with it.
Eat it.
It's not cooked. It's dried. It's dried pasta.
Oh, I haven't seen the picture.
I just said dried pasta.
Do you know how mac and cheese works.
You think they're just bringing in pre-cooked noodles?
I was thinking one of those old truckers, you know, that's just filled with oil, but just cooked mac and cheese.
it's just got loaded. The drum that spins around to always kind of keep it moving.
Keep it good and mixed up.
Yeah. You never want the crusty ones.
You don't want it
to
settle.
Uh-huh.
I would love some mac and
cheese. The old steam trains, you think there's like somebody like, you know, stirring the mac and cheese in the truck.
That's
like
literally where you get the steam coming out of the train engine.
Sounds so good. I haven't had a carb in months.
We
asked this question. Do we still have guys that do that on trains? I think we did ask that question. You know, the guys
who like shovel the fuel.
Yeah, whenever I said I was anti-train, you told me that they don't do that anymore. Somebody said that they don't shovel coal into the engine anymore.
How can you be
like
anti-train?
We've had to progress from that.
I'm anti-train, Fish.
Oh, no.
Like high-speed rail, any train?
No, trains that come across roadways. I'm anti-train.
He got stopped behind a train last week, and it
anti-train?
Really
your
it
selfishness,
set off his whole week.
Your selfishness?
I know.
For all these goods being delivered at
all
a
the
cheap
resources,
rate.
Yeah. I know.
You just want to break the supply chain for your own selfish needs?
I'm surprised at you, Mr. Technology, that you just think that something from the 1800s that has changed very little in the past 200 years, you think is just fine the way it is.
I said we need the high-speed railway. I said that we need the high-speed one. Because then, best of both worlds, you, sir, are not waiting on no trains on your daily commute to work. And you, sir, you get the resources spread out to the community.
Our guy Tyler White says, I like my pasta al dente.
That's a good one. That's a good one. We give credit where it's due. Wow. So there's a... All right, so there's a macaroni truck in the mid-state, flipped over. There's about 43,000 pounds of macaroni on the ground. Remember a couple weeks ago?
Would anybody try to loot that macaroni right now during this civil unrest? Are they trying to loot it?
I don't think so. There were several authorities there.
I mean, at that point, it's not mac and cheese. Like, you're getting mac and asphalt. Like, that's the flavor of noodles you're going to get. I don't know if that's edible. I don't know if I would want to eat that.
Oh, it's definitely edible.
You just got to boil it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they should do something with this. I mean, they could probably rinse it or some of it could be salvaged.
Hey, you can donate it all to like the local elementary schools and think about how many arts and crafts projects are just set supplies-wise for the next 8 years. Easily.
I never really got the macaroni art.
Yeah, me neither. But, you know, we did it. We
all
did
it. Crayons and coloring pencils.
Yeah, but you know, you want to use your tools, get creative a little bit.
Macaroni and cheese is not a tool.
A macaroni and cheese picture frame. Everyone's made one.
Yeah, come on, Brandon. Are you anti-macaroni and cheese picture frames too?
Yeah, come on. No one's anti-macaroni and cheese frames.
Brandon. I mean, macaroni's for eating. It's just a good, it's a waste of perfectly good macaroni.
You
gotta
put like fun things.
Put glue on it.
That is fair. Okay. So remember a couple weeks ago we had that story of I think it was the NFL player who got caught with all the on the drug trafficking charges or something. Do you remember this? And he had the van or the SUV, and it was full of duffel bags with I believe it was
and they outweighed a Rick Butler.
Yes, that was it. And the whole point was how many Rick Butler's worth of drugs was in this car.
Right.
I can tell you right now, that there are approximately 286 Rick Butlers worth of macaroni and cheese on the ground on this Nashville highway. That's 286. That's a lot.
That's entirely too many.
That is entirely too many.
That's a lot of Rick Butlers.
That's a lot of mac and cheese. I mean, I know that was already stated, but 43,000. Quite a bit. Well,
if you're driving behind that truck and boom, what the hell is coming off that? Like that.
Imagine
like
running over it.
Destination type stuff.
Hey, who knows? Maybe they can find a way to work that into the next movie. We got plenty more coming up today. We might talk a little bit about Tennessee recruiting, but we also just got other stuff to talk about. Let me see what is on the menu for today. Oh, hey, we got Chance back. We have not talked to you in really some time. I want to get your thoughts on The Last Dance at some point coming up today. Want to talk to you a little bit about Michael Jordan, and then also got some other questions to get through. Hey, don't go anywhere. We got a great rest of the show coming up. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on The Blitz, 11:20 a.m.
Oh, no.
Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Weston.
Well,
go ahead.
I think you've figured it out by now.
No.
But Charlie's not coming in today. I told you he was.
Oh, okay.
So we thought he wasn't, and then he said he was, and then he's not.
Right, it's been a little confusing.
He admitted defeat.
Oh.
To Cody.
Took the L.
Yeah, I just saw this. He says, at Cody McClure, you win. Poor Charlie.
How many units do you believe Charlie consumed last night?
I don't know. I stopped trying to keep up. I stopped trying to keep count of it.
The fish put it at units. Charlie, you know, keep Charlie, you know, civilized over here. How many units do you think that he had? So Charlie tried to hang with the big dogs, huh? We know he just recently turned 21. He tried to hang out. He tried to keep up with Cody.
That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, does he not know Cody?
Chance, I don't know if keep up was the right word. I think a better word is challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
He challenged one Cody McClure.
Well, I'll say this. There was a little coaxing by Cody to get Charlie into it. I think Cody wanted to...
Let's put it this way. Cody knew how much he wanted to spend on drinks that night.
Yeah. But Cody kind of, he ribbed him a little bit to get him going, and then I think Cody wanted the challenge.
Yeah, but Charlie's been talking about that for a long time.
He has.
I think Charlie has.
Charlie wanted it.
Charlie could not wait for that moment. I hope it was all he imagined it was.
I believe this was a direct quote. Nice. He said, I want all the smoke.
Famous last words.
And the narrator says, indeed, he did not want any of the smoke.
Well, we'll be sure to ask him about that tomorrow.
That's what I got the gist of, the messages in the group chat. But you got to learn, Charles. Cody's been doing this for a while. It's the same, like, I think if Charles would try to challenge me, like, yeah, I don't do it like I used to. I just turned 36, you know? I'm more into, like, trying to get into the family stage. But don't think that I don't have it.
It's like the last two episodes of The Last Dance, that one guy that was on the Jazz that said that he could guard Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the quote that one guy had? 45 ain't 23?
Hmm. Yeah, that was Nick Anderson.
What a great
Magic.
I know that's not the moment you're talking about, Brandon, but boy was that was another moment along the same lines. 45 ain't 23. Okay. Okay. I'll show you 23. I'll go get it. I'll go. It's just in the closet.
Yeah. Shout out to Brian Russell.
Hey, speaking of Jordan real quick, Chance, I don't know if you've gotten obviously with your camping trip, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to go back and watch 9 and 10 yet. But have you seen the beef that has come out between Horace Grant and Michael Jordan since.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh my goodness.
I have not watched 9 and 10. I planned to do that today. Like you said, I was disconnected. I couldn't watch anything.
Off the grid.
But I did when I got back yesterday afternoon. I saw on ESPN, that was one of the top headlines, and then I heard the audio from Horace Grant. Pretty much, he told Jordan, we can either talk about this or we can talk about this. Like, he pretty much offered up the two-piece and a biscuit to Mike. Still.
Yeah, he went off. I'll read a couple of the quotes here. So here's what Horace Grant said about Michael Jordan following the documentary. I think he proved that during the—I'm telling you, it was only a grudge. And I think he proved that during this so-called documentary. He is in Jordan. When if you say something about him, he's going to cut you off. He is going to try to destroy your character. And he said something about Michael. Now he's talking about Barkley. He said Barkley said something about Michael's management with the Charlotte Bobcats or the Charlotte Hornets, and then they haven't spoken since then. And my point is, he said that I was the snitch, talking about that book that that author Sam Smith had written about the Bulls. He said that I was the snitch, but yet still, after 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' rooms and seeing drugs and weed and women. My point is, why the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call someone a snitch, that's the dang snitch right there. Wow. Shots fired towards Jordan. Yeah. Yeah. Locked and loaded. I mean, he spared no quiet opinions on that one. Basically saying that, hey, if you want to make this documentary Jordan, and if you want to have all the final say, whatever. But know that I realize that this is a lie, that you are lying. And if you want to call me a snitch, and if you want to make this whole section of the documentary about me being a snitch, you know, but gloss over the fact when you did that, and it was barely touched on in the documentary, then go ahead. But we all know that documentary is a lie. That's what Horace Grant's saying. Some powerful words there.
Yeah, I applaud Horace Grant for kind of speaking up for himself. But at the same time, like, everybody knows Michael Jordan is petty. Like, you can watch the documentary and you know that he's a petty. He's also the best competitor, also probably the greatest that we've ever seen. But he is petty, and he does hold grudges. But shout out to Horace for, like, standing up to the GOAT.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Horace would go on to say, I would say it was entertaining. But we know who was there as teammates. That's about 90% of it. I don't know if I can say it on air, but blank in terms of the realness of it. It wasn't real because it was a lot of things Jordan said to some of his teammates that his teammates went back at him. But all of that was kind of edited out of the documentary, if you want to even call it a documentary. Strong. Strong, strong, strong. And I think that's kind of the one of the interesting things that I didn't know was going to come out of this documentary. But obviously, you've had a new look and a new insight into that team and the season and the players. But then you also have all this come out afterwards that I didn't really expect to get.
I mean, I don't know. Jordan said that after the documentary that people would probably not like him.
Yeah. And I really wonder about that quote, because that quote's been used a lot of times.
Like, I already kind of had my own opinion of Michael Jordan, and I don't know that the documentary really changed it. Like, I definitely found a new level of respect for Michael Jordan, having not ever – obviously, you know about Michael Jordan. Yeah. Obviously, everybody knows about Michael Jordan. But, I mean, being our age – I never got to see it. I never watched it. At least wasn't cognizant.
Yeah, that is something that, like, I've never asked you guys, because you guys know that I got to see all those years as a big Bulls fan. But what Brandon said, what did you, Rick and Fish, think about Jordan now after you saw what it took to become Jordan?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like Brandon said, you our age, you hear all the stories, right? And you've seen – I don't even want to say you've seen the highlight videos, because I don't even think I have. Like, I've seen highlight clips. I've seen the play from Jordan, the crossover, the fist pump, the flu game, things like that. But I never really knew the whole story that went into it. And I loved hearing about Michael Jordan. But I really think that the surrounding pieces is what I was more interested in the whole time. I knew the name Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman. But what I realize now 5 weeks later is I only knew them by their names. I didn't get what they did for the team. I knew Michael Jordan could score, but how important they were to the team. I realize, you know, now that, you know, like Brandon said, I respect the, you know, that Michael Jordan really is the greatest basketball player in the world, but of how much it took to get him to that spot, right? And how much it took out of others to get to that spot and to get all those rings accumulated. So I think it's a really interesting thing of, do people look at him in a worse way? No, but I think that people are a lot more aware of the bad things he did, right? Or the bad stories. But also, I think that everybody at the same time probably gained a certain level of respect for him, being able to see what was going on behind closed doors.
Live, I only got to see a shell of Michael Jordan. I remember a little bit of him in Washington. I mean, very, very vague. And it would be like, I don't know, I guess a good example, Rick, would be like somebody just watching the past few years of The Undertaker. Like, people are like, there's an aura around this guy.
Sure.
But he's not the same.
Sure. That makes 100% sense in my head. Wow. See, and that's even like another thing. Like, I don't know anything about the Wizards. I know he played for the Wizards, but now I'm realizing that I didn't know much about his career at all before. But, hey, I certainly want to continue talking about The Last Dance just because I do think that this is all so interesting, and it is new to me, and I do love it. But, Chance, we'll let you watch the finale first, and then sometime later this week we'll get right back into this conversation. Hey, coming up next, Weston, I have a ton of questions for you.
I'm ready for them, Rick.
I want to know about the mushrooms. I want to know about the pickleball against the old ladies. I want to know about it all. We'll get into all of that coming up next. You won't want to go anywhere. Stick around. Don't touch that radio dial. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. I've had too much to drink. Had too much time to think. All right, back here on The Blitz, 11:34 a.m. as we are rolling through the second hour of the show today. And just kind of taking a deep breath for a second. It's cool. It's cool to have Weston back in studio. Feels a little bit like old times here with the four of us. But Weston, I mean, it's obviously been a couple months since you moved out of Knoxville. So what's been going on in the last few months?
Well, we get out there and business is...
It's Cookeville, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Liking Cookeville. Cool, yeah. Cool little town. People don't realize the size of Cookeville. It's actually a pretty big city. It's Tennessee's only micropolitan city. You know, there's metropolitans. There's four of those.
Mm-hmm.
Cookeville would be the micropolitan. It's got 80,000 people.
So
really,
Cookeville's bigger than Bristol.
It's not bigger than the Tri-Cities as a whole.
Gotcha.
So it really does go. You know, you have your big four, and then Cookeville's right underneath.
Well,
that.
A lot of cities will fall into kind of suburbs and be big. Cookeville probably is around like the 10th biggest.
For sure. Because Clarksville's big. Where I'm from, Clarksville's bigger than Cookeville.
Right. It's about the same, I believe, isn't it? Right around 80,000-100,000.
Now Clarksville has grown over the years. It's 100,000 plus, maybe like even close to like 150 or something, because you have so much military, because you have the Fort Campbell Army Base that is right there, 101st Airborne. So you have a lot of transplants.
That's what I was kind of thinking about Clarksville almost being a suburb of Nashville, you know, kind of still counted into that area.
You could say that.
Same as, you know, you could probably put Oak Ridge and Maryville into Knoxville. And, you know, some areas outside of Nashville. You put Greenville in the Tri-Cities. There's some bigger places that, you know, are right outside of the four big ones.
I'm not going to knock Cookeville. I know you just moved there. I don't have that much of a problem with Cookeville. But
what if you had, like, a big rivalry with Cookeville?
No, it's just, I remember, all right, so I was about 14. I played travel baseball, and we had a tournament in Cookeville. And as a teenager... Like, we're like, want to get dropped off at the mall. Went to the Cookeville Mall, and then this is ages ago. Like I said, I was 14 years old, so you're talking about 22 years ago. And we went to this mall, and I promise you, I don't know if they still have this mall, if it's upgraded. You could be at one end of the mall, and you could see the other end of the mall. That's how small it was. So think about it as a teenager.
Wow. Walking yeah.
in there and be like, I guess all they got is a Foot Locker.
We'll go back in and look at these. We'll go back in and look at these Nikes again.
Yeah, I remember we couldn't get over how small it was, and there was really nothing to do back then.
Wow.
Now, I know it's probably progressed a lot since 22 years, but back then it was nothing to do in Cookeville. I remember I had some could have went to Tennessee Tech. I was like, no, I'm not going there. There's nothing to do.
There's some interesting areas that I also work out there. The Cookeville area obviously being the biggest. There's this area north right on the Kentucky border known as Pickett County. And this is the smallest county in Tennessee. The entire county has 2,000 people, I believe. It has one school, a K through high school.
Whoa.
Sounds like Washburn.
You ever heard of Pickett County?
I mean, yeah, I've heard of it, but I couldn't tell you a city in it.
I can't think of the city there either.
Wow. Huh. All right, so you got the move down a couple months ago, and I went back and I found this tweet because I specifically wanted to ask you about this tweet from May 11th. All right, and you put it out on Twitter, so I think it's okay for me to read here. Mm.
The largest town in Pickett County?
Yeah.
Birdstown.
That's it.
Birdstown. Great name. Great name.
Is it?
I think yeah, Mr. I think Bird. I think Mr. Bird was a congressman.
BYRD?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. BURD?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
BY.
All right, so you had this tweet. Around Christmas, I reached my peak beefy boy weight. I weighed 250. After months of keto, yoga, and no alcohol, I weighed in today at 198. You walked into the studio today, and that was the first thing that everybody had said. Like, when 3 and Out came into the studio, you're looking fantastic. You really have, like, completely flipped the script on, you know, the what you're eating and drinking and all that. And
put
it,
my man Fish on the camera so I can see this. So you're
right.
See this.
I don't know if his camera's on.
I wanted to see the transformation. Good job.
I mean, if the people want to see, I mean, I could move the camera that's pointing on Rick and I. I don't want to see
it. Here, come take my seat. We'll switch real quick. We'll switch seats.
No. Live radio.
So
live radio, folks.
You better stall.
This is happening right
live
now.
Radio, folks. Don't try this at home.
Hey, that keto definitely does work, though. It, like, worked magic.
I like being back here.
You've never been back there.
No, it's been a long time.
What's up, Fish? In the big boy chair.
Rick's got a small head.
Be careful now. You're using Rick's.
Yeah, I might have been infected over there.
Cover.
Yeah.
This might not be Davey approved.
as the health coordinator.
Justin Brown.
Hair's back.
The hair's back.
You know, what?
Looking snatched out here.
Uh huh.
Uh
huh.
No longer a beefy boy.
Hey, watch out, ladies of the Blitz. He's a married man. All right.
My next
watch
point
out.
Was going to be.
Charlie's available.
I think the head shave was a turning point.
Oh, wow.
I think it could have been one of the best things to ever happen to me.
Really?
That next morning, waking up after a Seattle loss, hungover, bald, and at my biggest weight, I'm like, oh, this ain't going to work. Something's going to change here. And I swear, I think it was a good thing for me. It wasn't much after. I put around Christmas time, I reached my weight. Well, really, I was that until February.
Sure.
You know, I hadn't changed from, I mean, maybe 5 pounds or so, but, I mean, there was no change from Christmas to February. So you could really say this has happened in 3 months.
Wow. Okay, so what is, with the diet, because that's the part that's the most new to me. Like, how much does what you eat, like, how much has that actually changed? What kind of is the keto diet from someone who can explain it, you know, very simply, who actually does it?
Oh, it's absolutely.
It works.
I've been so strict on it. I've done it before. I've had success on it. My problem's always been, and people that have had keto before could probably relate to this. You have a big hangover or something like that. You know, you go out on a Friday or Saturday night. You wake up the next morning. It's very hard to stay on a diet when your body's craving carbs the next day.
Sure.
You know, when you're, when you're deficient the next day, like it doesn't work. So I'm like, I'm gonna put down the alcohol for this keto too. Keto's not good on alcohols. Cut out the booze. No carbs. I haven't had one cheat day, one cheat meal, one cheat bite in 3 months.
That's how you have to do it, though, man. Like, I did that keto stuff back in 2017. I had gotten up to 275. I had the fat face and all. And, yeah, I went on it hard. But like he said, like, if you stick to it, it does work. The thing that people get sidetracked on it, the first 2-3 weeks are the hardest. Your energy levels are going to be so depleted because of what you're doing to your body, trying to train your body and put it into ketosis, as they say. So you just have to stick to it. But like Fish said, man, the carbs, if you cut out the beer, I mean, you can still – I see a lot of people drinking like vodka water with like a little Mio splash in it or something like that. But, yeah, you just got to cut out the carbs and the sugar.
That's wild, man. Because that – like I didn't even know that was coming, but even just to hear the story behind it is fantastic. It's tremendous.
Nah, you look good, Fish. You really
appreciate
do. It's a tough thing. People, like, you know, dieting – and then the exercise too, and people don't forget, you can go out to work out anytime now, still in Bearden. You just have to have your CDC approved, Knox County Health Department approved mask. But get back out there and get to working out. I know that's what I'm going to be doing. I put on so much weight during the quarantine. You guys haven't seen me. Yeah.
Got to hit out or hit up that workout anytime. All right. Yeah. So, couple more things. A couple weeks ago. Called into the show, told us about a mushroom endeavor that was happening. Well, elaborate on this more. And has this been continued?
Yeah, you still foraging?
That's the word.
So yeah, this it kind of came out of nowhere. It sparked my interest last year when I went to a park, and I kind of ran across a subreddit of some people that found wild mushrooms and like gourmet mushrooms out in the wild. And so I went to the park and I'm like, I'm just going to look for mushrooms today. Not pick. I didn't know anything about them. So I'm just going to look. And just go into a park and like saying, I'm going to look for them, and realizing how many there are, I was like, wow. So it really piqued my interest. And so if you want to get into this, like looking for gourmet mushrooms, do your research, because you can get hurt. You can get poisoned.
So how much research did you have to do?
I mean, not a ton.
Just enough, right?
Not a ton.
Have you ever been questionable about one?
No. Always, I stick with ones that you know, don't have too many mimics, and you know, they call them like,
mimics.
That's probably not the word. They call them like false mushrooms, like with the morel mushroom.
It's like false idols.
There's a false morel, and there's certain ones that can, you know.
Those are the poisonous ones.
Yes. So I got into that, and they're like, you can grow your own gourmet mushrooms at home. So I found this place out of Memphis. We grew some oyster and lion's mane mushrooms, both like highly prized mushrooms that chefs look at. And they send you a block. They call it like a fruit block. And the mushrooms have colonized like this substrate of like sawdust or something, and all you do is poke holes with it and spray it every day, and they'll pop out.
Huh.
And you pick them and can cook them or whatever, and they'll flush a few times, you know, 2 or 3 times, and after, you can bury or plant the fruit block and grow them outside. So that's my next step. I'm about growing all I can indoors. So, about to start the outdoor process.
Well, you and Brandon can certainly share some tips, right? Because Brandon's now got the gardening thing going on, I'm not bringing up for any kind of bad reason at all. Like, it is one of the most impressive things I have seen. Like, we have these plants growing around our house.
Some urban farming.
They look fantastic, but. You know, you gotta maybe share some tips on it. I don't know. Soil.
Yeah, it's
soil kind of, and stuff.
What kind of vegetables are you growing, Brandon?
I've got a pepper plant. Getting ready for the next challenge.
I like it. What kind of pepper?
I forgot what it is. They had, whenever I went, they had a Carolina Reaper, and I almost got it. I almost was like,
wow.
But then I was like, I don't know, maybe not. What if I accidentally eat it?
Yeah, well, that would
be. Or if somebody accidentally eats it.
Yeah, what if I accidentally ate it?
Sprinkle it into Rick's food. Fish, I got my morel fix over the weekend.
Did you?
Yeah, I found some morels. Okay. Good eat. It was good.
Yeah, up in colder climates, you know, more elevation, they're still growing. You know, here in Knoxville, they're probably done. But where were you at, Townsend?
I was in Townsend.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll probably be there till June there.
Yeah, it was. They were really good too. A little butter, a little salt and pepper.
Yep, don't overdo it. Butter, salt, pepper. That's it.
I appreciate the new fish.
I like to say.
It's like I feel like I didn't appreciate fish enough. With this new fish that's came along, like, I don't even know if I want to call you fish anymore. I feel like you have to be Wes from Fox Sports.
No, he'll always be fish.
Yeah, I'm still fish. I might be a grilled fish or a.
That's it right there. You're no longer just like a fried fish nugget.
You're not filet-o-fish. Nice,
you grilled.
You might be able to retire the filet-o-fish. I can just.
It's a good point.
Fish.
We just have.
So when's the last time that you the last time you have eaten one? I'm guessing was before this keto, unless you're eating them without the bread now.
Well, they're still fried. I believe.
I bet that last time was when you brought it in here.
It was a little bit after that. I believe it was the last Tennessee football game, home football game. We went to the strip, and right before we went in, I got one on the strip.
Oh, my. That sounds terrible.
Who would that have been against?
Vanderbilt?
Last home game was Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Vanderbilt. So, November. So, we'll get 6 months.
And it rained that day. I remember. It poured the rain.
6 months.
Nothing like a little filet-o-fish sandwich after whipping the crud out of Vanderbilt.
It was before game.
Grit says your fish stick now.
They're still fried.
Grilled fish stick.
Can that even be a thing?
No.
What, a grilled fish stick?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No.
Fish don't come in sticks.
It can't be.
Oh,
well.
All right, we should take a break.
We should. We are. We're a little behind, but it is good catching up, and it's good to hear all those things are going well. Hey, do not go anywhere. We got one more segment of the Blitz coming up next. We're going to close out the show and then send you in to an action-packed edition of Talk Sports. You are not going to want to leave the station. Talk Sports is going to be great today, but don't go anywhere. We got one more segment left of the Blitz coming up right after this. This is Fan Run Radio.
Hey, it's Tanner from Overtime.
All right, here we go.
I was getting worried.
Final segment of the Blitz. I know. I had to let it go all the way through. We had to get to the woo. Are you guys woo guys?
No.
Yes. What?
Yes.
How are you under the age of 30 and you're not a woo guy?
I'm a big woo guy and I'm over the age of 30.
You're not a woo guy, Brandon?
You're not a woo guy?
I woo all the time.
I feel like the thought that being a woo guy is soft and Rocky Top
did,
is the most...
Did, oh, whoa, whoa.
It's a try-hard take.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't, in fairness.
No, you asked if I was a woo guy. I said no. Did I criticize you? No.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think if you are someone out there, not just saying you, but if you're someone out there who has the idea that being a woo guy is soft, like you just shouldn't woo because it's not part of the song, I think that take is in turn soft, and that's a terrible take. I think we should all be woo people, including you, Brandon, but I understand.
So... When you were in the student section while you were at UT, and I mean, it's rocking.
I've wooed.
A woo guy.
No. Just because you've wooed before doesn't make you a woo guy.
You're a wooer.
No, I'm not. I'm not a wooer.
I don't think he is. I don't.
You are a wooer.
No, I'm not.
I don't think he is, and I'm upset that he's not. Why aren't you a Woo guy?
I don't want to be.
Why? It's just a part of the song. We all do it.
It's not a part of the song.
There are 102,454 people who woo every single Saturday in Neyland, and you're the only one who doesn't. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? 102,454.
Why are you leaving one off?
Me. He's saying me. I'm the only one that.
I'm saying Brandon. He's the only one who's not wooing. Out of the whole stadium,
you know who doesn't woo, Brandon?
Probably Bear. Bear. And it's okay. I'll side with Bear on this one. I mean, just because you woo, that's fine. But something, I'm not.
Hey,
something they added in the early '90s that just don't belong in the song.
Oh.
I love you, Rick.
Cue the music. We're out of time. You're bad at that.
I gotta find the music real quick.
You're bad
Chance,
at that, Rick.
Somebody put me behind the board.
You're bad at that, Rick. You need to get
we
back
over
here.
We have 20 seconds left of the show, and I have not found our outro music
yet. Well, you've been listening to The Blitz for Rick Butler, Chance Collins, Weston Brown, Charlie Collier's out there somewhere.
There
I'm Brandon Orrick. You've been listening to The Blitz. Stay tuned. Talk Sports coming up next.
Welcome to Rocky Top, Coach Duggs.